ended.
Everyone remembers mission accomplished. Over 5 years and $1 trillion later, President Bush came up with a new ploy to accomplish his mission: to force a neocolonial status of forces agreement, SOFA, under Iraqi throats by the end of July, acquire the right to go on a war on terror in Iraq forever, declare victory, and thus win, again, perhaps finally, his war on Iraq. Call it occupation forever. Initially, the Bush administration wanted no less than 58 permanent U.S. bases in Iraq. There are already 30 in place. It doesn't matter that on April 8th of this year, U.S. Ambassador to Iraq Ryan Crocker said,
"The agreement will not establish permanent bases in Iraq, and we anticipate that it will expressly forswear them."
Technically, most of these would be Iraqi bases, but under full U.S. control. So that's the ploy. It amounts to turning over legal control of U.S. bases to a client regime. Heavy pressure is the name of the game. To convince the Iraqis, the Bush administration is holding no less than $50 billion of Iraqi money in the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. But there are other forms of pressure as well. The Iraqis wanted to sell oil in euros as well as in dollars. The Bush administration said no. Bush himself does not care about Iraqi public opinion. Last week in Germany, his farewell tour of Europe, he said the Iraqi opposition to the deal was just noise. This deal the Bush administration wants so badly is a SOFA only in theory. In fact, it's a smokescreen. Under U.S. law, it will have to be submitted to the Senate, but the Bush administration wants to bypass the Senate. And the deal is not about Iraq either. It's about Iran. That's the meaning of the U.S. demand, according to Iraqi lawmakers, of, I quote, "the right to strike from within Iraqi territory any country it considers a threat to its national security." The Bush administration wants to control Iraqi airspace. Bush administration wants to employ U.S. firepower without approval from the Iraqi government. Bush administration wants immunity from prosecution in Iraqi courts for all American troops and even contractors. Some people call them mercenaries. The U.S. Army simply cannot work without these contractors. Were a deal to be reached under the current terms, the deadline is July 31st, the Bush administration would be able to say Iran is interfering in Iraq and then attack Iran under cover of this status of forces agreement. The Bush administration also would have a hard time getting the U.S. Congress to approve an attack on Iran. So why not use the Iraqi parliament instead? But many Iraqi parliamentarians, Sunni and Shiite alike, they fear that this deal is basically a cover to use Iraq as a base to attack Iran. Nouri al-Maliki, Iraq's prime minister, he went to Tehran and solemnly promised that Iraq would not be used as a U.S. base for an attack on Iran. And then there's Ayatollah Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader. He told al-Maliki in Tehran that Iraqis have to, I quote, "think of a solution to free themselves from U.S. power." Not surprisingly, Ayatollah Khamenei advised al-Maliki not to sign the deal. And al-Maliki, for his part, he reassured the Iranians that Iraq is not an arena for a battle between Washington and Tehran. Every Iraqi politician is now stepping up to denounce this deal, from Dawa and the Supreme Islamic Council of Iraq, they are part of the government coalition, to Sunnis and Shiites in the opposition, these people that Bush called noise. The consensus now in Baghdad is that no deal will be reached before the U.S. presidential election in November. Anyway, the Bush administration would not give up without a fight. The State Department's top Iraqi advisor, David Satterfield, he believes that the deal...
"We believe this is doable by the end of July. So does the Iraqi side."